My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Wrestling, well, we like pro wrestling too. This week in the news, AEW World Champion Hangman Page doesn't like ice. The lazy river of wrestling criticism, the former invasion that is an invasion, and all things No Mercy. And Invader Club this week, Hanma versus Ishii from New Beginning 2015. I am Jeff Hawkins. Chris Novembrino has had a life event. Please go to his social media at @DOCTOR_NOV. Wish him congratulations. Joining me this week, Paul Fontaine from WrestlingObserver.com, Figure Four Online, Fight Game Media, the Dynamite Show that I just talked to him last night about. And Paul, I am going to give you a warning here as a man who has done multiple podcasts in a week before. I fall into the trap that everybody listens to all of my podcasts, and so a lot of this might be repetition from last night.
Oh, well, you know, we'll try to avoid that.
Although for you, your advantage is you watch more wrestling than any person I know. So for the lazy river of wrestling criticism, you can go anywhere that I possibly can't. You can go to like the depths of Japan. You can go to ROH, whatever you
want. I just finished watching Evolve.
God, why?
Why? I don't know. I wanted to see Idris and Ofe's last match. I think I'd have quit too if they had me losing to Tate Wilder, who is
that's a picture, real name, huh? Okay.
Picture Randy Orton in 2001 as a cowboy. That's Tate Wilder.
So when are we gonna get the, like, you remember when Vince, that idea came about the army of hobos? Now we need an army of Randy Ortons.
Yeah,
we have like four or five guys.
Oh, and we've got a Nash and Hall on Evolve as well.
Oh,
they
do
destroyed Cappuccino. Well, they're not actually Nash and Hall, but they are dressed exactly like them and might as well just call them Nash 2.0 and Hall 2.0. And they wrestled Adrenaline Drip, which is Cappuccino Jones and Jack Cartwheel. This is my This is what I do with my days.
You know, I've had a problem staying engaged in wrestling because I enjoy podcasting about wrestling more than I enjoy the wrestling itself. You seem to still enjoy wrestling. So
I do. I do. Although, I mean, and honestly, ironically, perhaps the least one I'm enjoying right now is the one that I mainly do a podcast about.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
Over on Blue Sky, the other social media network, AEW World Champion Hangman Adam Page calling for fans to contact Warner Brothers Discovery regarding ICE ads airing on both TBS and HBO Max during AEW Dynamite. Look, I am in the performing arts, and I understand that artists think that we need to use our platform for social change and other things like that. And I'm here to tell Adam Page, don't, if someone wants to sponsor your show, don't go after the sponsors. That's the part of me that's just, if I'm Warner Brothers Discovery, I'm looking at this and going, what are you doing? We're not a hit necessarily.
The odds of Joe winning the...
I don't want bug assault ads on my wrestling channel. I don't know. I'm mixed on this. I understand that that the base AEW audience is very left-leaning in a way, and Adam Page himself is very left-leaning in a way. And it also kind of conflicts with my personal shut up and dribble type of thing with when it comes to, you know, you can always go be an accountant if you don't like your job and you want to be active and stuff like that. I'm actually conflicted on this. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I number one, I'm not sure AEW is a position where you want to alienate half of your potential audience. And not only that, like I know that it appears that their fan base and probably their locker room. It leans a little more left, but
yes,
I gotta think that there's people there that maybe they're not vocal about it, but they do probably lean the other way too. And do you really want to like, and obviously like nobody likes, you know, I shouldn't say nobody, obviously some people do, but I mean, I understand the sentiment. I mean, Brody King got a lot of praise for wearing a, you know, F-Ice t-shirt, on, was it, that CMLL Grand Slam right. show? Yeah. But this is another level. Like this is pissing off paying sponsors.
Right.
Now if the company and or the network has decided that we're okay with this, I'm not sure that an employee or a subcontractor, whatever Hangman is classified as, or an EVP, he might be, I'm not sure. Should be criticizing sponsors publicly. Like that, yeah, that's the thing. Like, even if I agree with them, and maybe I do, I don't really know, to be honest with you. I didn't see the ads. So, you know, because I'm in Canada.
Yeah, because you're in Canada, so you're not getting it.
And I wouldn't have watched them anyways.
They're basically, they're recruitment ads. They're, are you in law enforcement? Okay. Would you like to join?
Would you like to round up some immigrants?
Pretty much is what it is. It's an interesting thing about money and sponsorship, because right now in the comedy community, I don't know if you know this, there's a big stand-up festival going on in Riyadh.
Yeah,
and
Mark Maron is...
There's certain lines being drawn where there are certain bedfellows that are very strange going, because yeah, you have Mark Maron and you also have Shane Gillis on the same side.
And Pete Davidson is not going to go, even though no one will pay him to anyways, right?
I thought he was going. I thought they...
Was he? Maybe I read that wrong. Maybe
no,
I read that wrong.
He had signed the contract to go.
Because his dad died in 9/11, so I thought...
Right, but he was going to take the money and go because...
Oh, okay, so he's got no morals. That's cool.
Because,
right.
Well...
I'm just kidding. You pay me $50 million, I'll go anywhere.
Well,
I'll,
see, I know. Don't. It's not $50 million. I think it also depends on your name recognition because one of the guys came out and said it's not life changing. I think they put it at
it'll
like 500,000.
It'll take a lot less than $50 million to get me to sell my morals. I'll just say that.
Fightful Reports, Paul Fontaine's honor comes cheap.
I would, you know what? $500,000, I might appear on those ICE commercials.
It is interesting to me because it's like the guy, like Marin's a guy who has FU money from his podcast.
Exactly.
So he can go at that position. But there are some people on here. I mean, look, you have your Chappelle's and Segura's finally making some coin from Netflix and his podcast and things like that. But you have guys like Doug Stanhope who never have quite broken through that, you know, because he's just such a, like, I half expect Doug Stanhope, because I knew Doug Stanhope back in the day. I half expect him to almost get arrested or even to try, hey, maybe I'll try out some of my edgy stuff that this crowd would agree with, kind of, if you get what I'm implementing here. But it's one of those things where I'm just like, some of these guys don't have 401ks and they're pushing 60. Like, Louis C.K. has good money from his development deals and stuff like that. But if you get like some old road dog, like if maybe Rich Voss or someone on that level who was like one of these great club comics, but never really, you know, Bobby Slayton, if I was going to bring up a name from the past or something like that.
Who's that roast guy? Gary something? The guy who is like on all the roast.
Jeselnik? Anthony Jeselnik?
No, older than that.
Greg Giraldo?
Yes. Yeah.
Greg Giraldo's dead, so he won't.
Oh, well, I guess he won't be there then. I had no idea. I think that was the guy I'm thinking of.
I think so too. But he passed away a few years ago.
That's the guy. Yeah. 2010?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Holy smokes. I could have sworn I saw him just a couple of years ago. Yeah, he was on the Pam one.
Yes, he has passed away, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad. He was only 45. Damn.
Yes. Anywho, trying to get back on track here. Kevin Kelly and the Tate Twins' appeal of arbitration gets dismissed. Not a shock. Nope. Arbitration deals are very hard to get past. I could probably get past mine, but I can't find an attorney to take it. Could file it in court, but I don't want to bother because even if I win, it's not going to do anything for me because, you know, it's one of those medical malpractice deals and I'm in the worst state possible for medical malpractice. But arbitration deals are pretty, unless you can prove some sort of malfeasance by the company in some ways, you're not going to get that thrown out of court. Those are going to get enforced. And also, I am not fond of Kevin Kelly and the Tate Twins attorney here.
I just feel like both of them have decent cases. Like, you know,
I think Kelly does. I'm not sure the Tate Twins do. That's the thing.
Well, you know what? Tony needlessly badmouthed them way out.
That is true.
And they've not been able to work since. Well, I guess they are now. They're kind of
but they keep getting booked against AEW talent. And then
like Tony he freaking pulled the Outrunners. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, just let it go.
We like petty though, don't we?
Yeah.
That's what our friends over at Fight Game Media used to say all the time. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Big Boom AJ, not done with in-ring stuff just yet, as he will return to action at November's Full Gear pay-per-view.
Great.
It looks like he and his son Big Justice were putting over the 6th anniversary show on social media when Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta of the Don Callis family,
wondering where Trent was,
walked up to insult them. Trent is wearing a cast on his left arm, perhaps that's why he is being kept off. Okay. But yes, from heavyweight division in New Japan to laying down for guys who sing about chocolate chunk cookies.
He's getting slammed by the kid, isn't he?
I think so. No, Romero's getting slammed. Trent's taking that. Trent's a little
bit. To quote the great Dave Meltzer, it's always Rocky.
It's always Rocky. And to quote the great Jeff Hawkins, get paid. So, if he's getting paid for it, might as well do it. As you alluded to earlier, Idris Enofe on social media announced he has left WWE.
Yep, I just watched his last match.
I am still almost cringing at the fact that he got a WWE tattoo put on him.
Yeah.
Never. Have you ever thought about getting your workplace tattooed anywhere on your body?
I have one tattoo, really? And it is, yes. And believe it or not, it is it is directly related to e-wrestling.
No.
Yeah. Now no. you want to know even better?
Oh,
I just got this thing 6 months ago. But it's something I always told myself, if I ever get a tattoo, this is what it's going to be. And I've never had one. And then my sister, I was in Vegas with my sister, and she said, last time we were in Vegas, you promised we were going to get tattoos together. And I'm like, really? And then she tells me what the tattoo was that I said I was going to get. And I'm like, oh yeah, that I would have said that. Okay. And so we got the tattoos.
Dare I pry further?
It's a diamond. It's a diamond and an ace. So it's very small. It's on my ankle. It's
okay.
If I'm wearing socks,
it's a chick tattoo. Got it.
Probably, yeah. she ended up getting a Queen of Hearts at the same time. So
I overall liked the Inoue Malik Blade team, but I will admit that Malik Blade for me was most of the personality of that team, and Inoue
now, he was the sweater guy,
of,
right?
Yeah, the sweater vest guy. Yeah, and then.
Right, yeah.
And then Inoue was more, I would guess, I mean, would you call him the workhorse of the team? I mean, he had a better
maybe.
Body.
I had a pitch that I should have told you about to give to your guy.
Okay.
I thought that they could have had, at the time that they split up the New Day from Big E, I would have had Big E bring in these guys and manage them and go up against Xavier and Kofi.
Okay.
Like, you know, I don't know where it would have gone, but it would have been a good way to debut them, I thought. And I mean, I always thought they had something, you know, like
Malik
they had some good matches.
Well, Malik has acting chops too. Cause like,
okay.
He did,
well, he's still there, right?
Yeah. He's just injured. And when they do that, they don't use both guys. If you're part of a team, right. You know, it's one
well, they've
been
that... using, Idris in Evolve.
And
I mean, and he basically like said, like the team is done. So I don't know where that left Malik.
They
were pushing him. He was in the match for the first ever Evolve title. So yeah.
One of the biggest laughs I ever got at NXT was Inoue and Blade were talking. I forget which female they were talking about, and like Malik goes and she smells like lavender. And this is when Stokely was still in NXT as Malcolm Bivens.
Oh my God.
And he gets he gets disgusted. He looks like, brother, it is only March.
Might have been B-Fab.
It might have been. It could have been. I can't remember who they were talking about, but yeah, it was that. I wish I could find that video clip, but it's still one of the biggest laughs I ever got watching NXT. Pursuant to you being, those of you who don't know Paul is a self-professed ROH historian.
Not self-professed. I was called that by Ian Riccoboni.
Okay, there you go.
Make that clear. Yeah.
Friend of the show, Ian Riccoboni,
yeah.
Says sarcastically. Sari worked the ROH tapings last night.
Yeah, and it's airing today already.
I am baffled by this move, Paul.
I'm not.
Because I consider her a big star in Japanese women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Worthy of an AEW-type debut versus being snuck onto the streaming show for 500 people or so.
Well, if people want to see her wrestle, they got to pay $10. So in my opinion, that's good business. Like if she's only here for a week, like, I don't know.
Oh, is that the deal?
I don't know. But if she's only here for a week, why would you put her on AEW television? Why don't you just put her on Ring of Honor and make people pay to see it?
Because the Joshi fans would go wild who watch AEW.
Sure, but they may also pay him money to watch her.
You'd have to find out secondhand about the ROH tapings.
You know who and her then, partner is?
Wasn't it
Alex Windsor?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, I saw that and I'm like, where has she been?
Where is she at on these? Yes.
She'd been getting a big push and then all of a sudden she just dropped off the face of the planet.
You know what this was? This was Tony wrote out the lineup and he shoehorned that women's match between Ty Conti and Tony Storm in there and goes, oh yeah, I meant to put Alex Windsor and Saree Saree on the Dynamite show. Oh crap, I'll just fit him onto the Ring of Honor tapings. Same night.
Why not? He had that extra half hour. We could have saw that instead of that Gates of Agony match.
Maybe there was an airplane that was late or something.
But regardless, I do have Honor Club, so I'll watch it. But I saw a lot of her in NXT, so I saw people are really excited.
I actually liked her gimmick in NXT.
I did too. She was the one that would change when she came through the curtain, right? Yeah, it was interesting.
And then they did some dumb comedy with Chase Yu coming out with her. They also transformed and then fired half of them afterwards.
Didn't Raquel Gonzalez like throw her through a wall or something?
Yes.
Okay.
And thus ended the superhero gimmick. Actually, that's how everybody should be. That's how Jasmine Nick should have been written off too. Just have Raquel Rodriguez walk on, throw her through a wall.
Or
that's all, folks.
I can't believe I called her Raquel Gonzalez. That's been a while since she's been
here. Yeah. Raquel Rodriguez now.
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah. I think she was already Rodriguez by that point.
She was.
Yeah.
I can't remember all these name changes. What do you expect out of us?
Sarai.
I call her Sarai because I'm looking at the name written down here, and I'm
It's pronounced Sarai. It's pronounced
it is,
Sarai,
and I know
right?
that in my head, much like I.
But it's too close to Suri, and I was like trying to figure out, okay, which one is it? But I know Suri debuted earlier this year. Same thing, by the way, they did with her too.
I did this a couple weeks ago with Persephone. I called it Persephone. Because I'm staring at the name. You know what? You passed all those classes in college and you got yourself a higher degree and now you're just mispronouncing legendary names from mythology on wrestling podcasts. Moron. Yeah. Comings and goings. Hikaru Shida is on her way back. She tweeted from an airport. Hologram, significant knee injury suffered last Wednesday on Dynamite. Clone. And apparently a sympathy injury also was injured, but he was on Dynamite last night. Ridge Holland injured in the TNA tapings. Kalani Jordan allegedly injured, but she showed up on NXT and is leading a team. Tommy Dreamer indicating that Ash by Elegance's career is finished. Could be a work, could not be. Whoa. And Jade Cargill needed stitches from SmackDown. Anything in there tickle your fancy?
When you talk about Shida, when you said she's on her way back here or back there?
Back to America.
Okay. Ridge, tough, but he probably saved his job for another year if he's out.
Ridge Holland. I just think he has such bad timing on everything in terms of.
He was starting to find him. Like I watched his couple matches he had in Evolve, and then I saw the TNA stuff, and he's back to doing the rugby thing that he was doing in NXT UK. So it works for him. Like he's just kind of a ruffian, and that was working. But it probably also led to the injury.
That was my pitch, by the way, for the new day guy.
Okay,
it's a bring. Yeah,
I remember that.
Heat.
Yeah, I remember that. There was one other one I wanted to ask you about, with the injuries,
Ash by Elegance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the one. I think it actually is legit because they also took the titles off of Maggie and Heather.
So they're going to repackage them, you think?
I would imagine. Yeah. Which
that's a decent gimmick in TNA though. I really like, the concierge. I think he does a good job getting heat.
Sure. Yeah. No. I'll give you that. I just find him so annoying. But I guess
I think that's the point. That's the point. Yeah. I don't mind those types of characters in terms of mid card level kind of heel type of people. I like the annoying.
That
kind of like
M
Mark
by
Sterling.
Elegance. Yeah. Yeah. That M by Elegance. She's got something. Maggie Grace. So I hope that WWE picks her up because I think they could do something with her. Heather is too small. I think, but
really, well, just
she's like,
let's ask Gail Kim what she thinks and see if she needs to lay it in a bit more. Wow. By the way, that came back today too.
Well, yeah, with, because of Lyra or
no, because Gail said that she found Kenny's tweet disrespectful.
Well, she was right.
I concur, but I don't want the Kenny fans down my throat right now.
No, but I mean, like, it was like, but the fact is, I'm sure Kenny was pissed off and he was trying to defend Riho, and he may have disagreed with Gale. And to be honest, like, I'm kind of on the fence on that one. Although I do think that they both were kind of disrespectful to each other. But Kenny did not need to wade into that, in my opinion.
I agree. And everybody putting this through the I guess I can't think of the word right now, but through the lens of Jim Cornette really did it a disservice.
And the sad thing is like, I think that Gail didn't realize, and as hard as this is to believe, I think she didn't really realize what Jim Cornette is right now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so by latching onto his opinion, she didn't realize that she was attaching herself to the cult of Cornette.
Yeah. And I also, just from reading what she writes a lot, because I follow her, I followed her for years. Mm-hmm. She's a write once, read never type on social media.
Okay.
Which can be a problem.
Yes.
Because she's not there for the discussion. She's there, okay, here's my opinion. You walk away and all of a sudden you have 50 people in your mentions going, how could you say something like, you're so insulting, blah blah blah. And you're like, what? It's an opinion. What
yeah.
What's the deal?
I felt that when, you know, that whole thing I had with CM Punk a few years ago. It was like, I didn't even realize it because I wasn't on Twitter constantly.
Explain to people what happened.
Well, so I'm watching the AEW pay-per-view and CM Punk comes out to music that's not his own. And mm-hmm. I was like, what's up with what am I missing with the CM Punk entrance? And I tweeted it out and I left it. And nothing happened right away. And then what happened, I think, was John LaRocca saw my tweet and quote tweeted it. And then Bix got into it with LaRocca, and then somehow it got on Punk's radar. And then Punk quote tweeted me, and of course I said, what am I missing? And he says, a sense of storytelling, a brain. And I was like, okay. And then like what I didn't realize was all of a sudden all the Punk fans, and at that time Punk was still an AEW. Like yes. He was everyone in AEW.
And it was the AEW people completists who know everything about every wrestler ever and all their
And then I made the mistake of saying, oh, forgive me for not knowing the entrance music of a guy from a second rate indie fed 15 years ago.
Okay, I remember that too. I went, oh no, Paul.
And then CM Punk said, "Forgive me for being mean to someone who is an asshat to everyone in his replies." And it was like, oh boy, here we go. But we ended up shaking.
You had sympathy. You had it, and then you blew it. I've been there before.
But I did manage to have somebody who works for the opposition at the time, a very high profile person, tell me, don't worry about it. Phil has always been an asshole.
Oh, I remember that too. I remember that. Yeah. Okay.
No, that person told me that privately.
I know that, and I will not reveal this person's name.
But it was a good learning experience because, like I said, but what happened was, like, I literally like, I put down the phone. I didn't, and then all of a sudden I look at my phone and I've got like thousands of mentions, and I'm not used to that. You know, like I tweet out my thoughts and I may get a like. You know what I mean?
I'm the same way on Instagram where it's like, so I'll ask a message or something like that, and then all of a sudden I won't check it for like 6 months, and then all of a sudden, like,
every once in a while,
answer my question. It's like, well,
every once in a while Big Dave will quote tweet me and then my mentions blow up. But
he did that with me sarcastically. He like buried something I said, and I was like, why am I getting this snark from you? And then he deleted it and apologized, which a friend of the who works for another site wrote and goes, dude, that's like winning a gold medal, getting Dave to back down on something.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is somebody, he did that with me one time. We got into it a little bit, and then someone said, they made a comment about how I was like an idiot or something like that. And then Dave actually quote tweeted and said, Paul's actually a really good friend of mine, and sometimes we have discussions and sometimes we disagree, and that's okay.
Okay, we're and on Meltzer, like, so this is a perfect segue into the lazy river of wrestling criticism, whatever we watch, whatever's on our mind.
Yes.
You being a little bit closer in the Dave circle than I am, Although we're both kind of, you know, we're both not nearly as close as our friend Garrett, who does shows with him, or Alvarez.
Right. Right. But yeah, I'm in pretty regular contact with Dave.
To me, it feels almost like, and I've compared this to Captain Ahab and the White Whale.
Yeah, you have to explain that one to me.
Okay. Dave, to me, and I like Dave, I think he sometimes takes things a little bit too literally on the show.
But it's a charm.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just like 2 weeks ago, like, I told you this story, like, Seth says he's the best wrestler, but he's not. I just want Brian to go, it's a TV show, Dave, and he said a line. Yeah. Can you please just move on from this instead of your 10-minute deconstruction of who a better wrestler is?
I think he's one of the better
right
promos, but
yes. You're like, Dave.
Maybe please. Overall package. And then by the end of it, I think he was actually agreeing with Seth.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you know, he actually is quite a good wrestler. He's carried most of the pay-per-views this year. Move on. And Brian has left the room 3 times to check his kids and comes back. Yeah. But anyways,
made a rib
eye. When you listen to his ratings talk, and we don't talk ratings a lot here anymore, he is on this mission to prove that Netflix is inflating their stats, and it's provable because he has mathematicians feeding him information from the board and stuff like that. You're just like, my God, where do you people get the time? And then he will always, almost always, I'll relent a bit on that, go and kind of soft pedal the AEW viewership numbers and go, well, we don't know the numbers from streaming on Max. And I am not a Dave's on the payroll of AEW guy. I never have been.
No, no.
But there's some sympathy there. To me, I lived in the day where when we were doing the horse race for the first few years of AEW WWE, ratings don't matter, or it's the demo that matters because that says the ad rates, and what you're really looking for is the TV contract. Okay, both groups are getting paid buku bucks for the TV contracts. Why are we now going back to talking viewership?
Well, because number one, AEW had a very short-term contract. You know, like literally a year from now, they're going to be, you know, talking renegotiation of the option year. And with WWE, kind of the same thing. Like they got a 5-year window that these numbers got to be good. But when I listen to Dave, just, you know, and he's going on and on and on and on and trying to explain like how, oh, undoubtedly, there's probably more people watching NXT than Raw, and definitely Dynamite. There's more people watching Dynamite than Raw. And I'm like, what planet are you living on? Like, look at the ticket sales. Listen to the thing. Like, there's no way that there's more people watching Dynamite than Raw. Like, what I don't understand is how he can say, like, okay, Dynamite, which is airing on cable, is streaming on Max. Mm-hmm. And somehow half the audience of cable is streaming on Max, even though everything else is like 5 to 10%. For some reason, Dynamite is 50%.
Yes.
And yet Raw, which is the flagship show of the biggest company in the world, somehow there's only like 800,000 people watching that show. I find that extremely hard to believe. Now, one thing that I've been meaning to ask him, and I haven't got a chance, he talks about the number of streams. Now, what I don't know is, okay, when you're on Netflix, you can have up to 4 users per account. So are they counting the accounts? So for instance, if my friend and his son both watch Raw on the same account, are they counted as 1 or 2 people?
Right.
That I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And for me, like, you know, I have my kids. They all use my Netflix account. I don't think any of them are watching Raw, but if they were, and I'm sure there are some cases where people are. Plus, I would also say that I think what's happening with Netflix is, number one, it's a lot of younger viewers. And number two, people are skipping through the show and just to the good stuff, which is much easier to do on Netflix. So in that sense, yeah, there's less people watching the full show. No question about that. But they definitely don't have less viewers.
I'm also of the opinion that, and AEW does this as well, so it's not just a WWE thing.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Almost 5 to 10 minutes after any major segment on your show, it's on YouTube. I don't need to watch the shows. I can follow along almost in real time what's going on either of the flagship shows on either of these companies on a free service if I sit through a 30-second ad.
If you're me and you have... Ian, you have commercial free. You don't even have to watch the ads.
Right.
I'm at the WWE YouTube, and there's like, you have up to 500,000 views from stuff that happened on Raw. NXT, like from two nights ago, 400,000 for the show closing brawl. Raw, 1.7 million for Roman Reigns' return. 1.1 million for the highlight clip of the show. So how many people are watching that? And that's like the fill of Raw. You can watch the highlight clip and you get everything you need from that show.
Do a podcast about wrestling every week.
Yeah. Like, I probably don't even need to watch Dynamite.
We don't need to watch Dynamite. We'll just watch YouTube clips and go live.
Just watch the highlight clips. Yeah. Except no, the problem is there is too much stuff happens. I'd miss too much. I miss stuff watching the full show. We had a huge argument today in the Fikey Media Discord about how AEW doesn't fill in their viewers on key points enough.
Yeah, we can go anywhere you want. If you wanted to start with Ice Cold Takes on No Mercy, we can just get rid of that.
You know what? The one thing I was going to say, and this kind of encapsulate all of it, I would say, like, so since the weekend of All Out and Wrestlepalooza, which was, 2 weeks ago, right?
Right.
So I watched... Between that weekend and this past weekend, I watched 6 shows. And the best one I saw, in my opinion, and I think I may be the only person on earth that thinks this, No Mercy was my favorite show of those that I watched. Yeah, okay. I like the show. The second favorite was New Japan's New Beginnings. I really like that show. I think it was it New Beginnings? No, it was Destruction in Kobe.
No, New Beginnings is where the Vader Club comes from.
Yeah, it was Destruction in Kobe. We got a tag team title change on that show. We had a couple challenges made for the next big show that they're doing, and I just liked the show. There was one bad match on it, but everything else was good. Then I would say the CMLL anniversary show, then Wrestlepalooza, then All Out. And then bringing up the rear was the TNA show, which was bad. That was Victory Road. That was one of the worst pay-per-view type shows I've seen in a long time. That was a mess, that show.
I think my major miss on No Mercy was I think you needed to belt Lola Vice.
Yes,
and I think you needed to repackage JC Jane, who is very talented and very good in her role right now. But right now she's the honky tonk man. The Miz, even. She's the champion you don't believe is the champion because everybody keeps saying she doesn't deserve to be champion. And she needs that win, and she hasn't had it yet, so I assume she should just lose first and then repackage herself as a little bit more focused, a little more vicious, and then come back and win the title right back, and then you have Lola have this short-term title reign type thing. Because I think JC Jane does belong on the main roster. There's no room for her there right now.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
God,
she's
even Julia is getting lost on this roster on SmackDown. She's one of the best wrestlers in the world. So it's one of those things. I mean, there's stuff there to work with NXT. It's just I am not a fan. I think they have relied too much on this TNA crossover. and people are starting to get sick of watching wrestlers that they shouldn't invest in that are never going to be a part of WWE to do it. I mean, you look at Jordynne Grace, I mean, she's ice cold to me.
She felt hotter when she was part of TNA.
Exactly.
Yeah. For me, it was just like, I'm talking like the matches, you know, like they were good matches. There was, you know, the angles were good. You know, like we saw Ricky Starks win the title. So I like that opener that they did with Javon and Josh Briggs. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and there wasn't anything really bad on the show. Oba and Ricky Starks was great.
Yeah.
I was thinking,
why was I thinking Javon? Well, all of a sudden, okay.
Oh, you might be mixing up because they had the TV show too. You had tag match on
that tag match was great. That was great.
Oh my God. I was like watching that. And I'm like, man, these guys, one of those companies needs to sign the other guy and they need to be the tag team champions of.
I agree, but I also, and this is a danger, and I've heard this suggested by, I think Alvarez suggested this, Javon Evans in the X division doing Ultimate X.
Oh, he'd kill himself.
That's what I'm afraid of. That's it's one of these things where it's like Sean and company know what they got. They know they got kind of a limited window because these are the types of guys who do fantastic things and either break their body or Randy Orton RKOs them and kills their mystique. But it's like, hey, would you like to go and do this Ultimate X match and do something absolutely spectacular for tops 10,000 people total views?
What? On really? You think so?
Well, I mean,
I guess it's on pay-per-view. Yeah, maybe.
Buys and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think a little bit more if it's on TV, you know, well, a lot more. Well, not that much more. 100,000 maybe. I'm kind of digging this, but it's probably a lot of the reason is because I actually watch TNA. If I wasn't watching TNA, I probably wouldn't like it as much, I would guess.
I'll let you go where you want to go.
What do you mean?
Lazy River. You can go anywhere. Oh,
no, I mean, I don't really have much else. Here's what I wanted.
Do you want to talk anything for Dynamite and rehash it? Because we haven't, I mean, we have our own show for Dynamite. That's the problem here. You think you've already talked about it and we haven't for this audience?
No, but there is something. There is something. This whole thing with Jungle Boy is, I'm confused as hell. So we had, I think it was on Forbidden Door where we had, or maybe it might have been before that, we had that video that played where somebody brought Luchasaurus back to life. Right. And it was Jack Perry in the video. Now, this is the first time we saw it. So Luchasaurus / Killswitch comes out and he is with Kip Sabian and Mother Wayne and Nick Wayne, right?
Right.
Then there's dissension in that group. And then Killswitch leaves the group. Then on the last pay-per-view, we see the same video. Now it's Jack Perry and he's with Killswitch. So my question is, was Jack Perry working with Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne?
No.
Well, then why did they air that video?
Because the plans were ruined when Nick Wayne got hurt.
Right, but the problem is they aired it anyways.
Yes, they aired it because, you won't know it's Jungle Boy till we tell you it's Jungle Boy. Now that we've revealed it's Jungle Boy, now we can do the story we always wanted to do.
It didn't make any sense. And then Jungle Boy comes out. Jungle Boy comes out and he's mad at the Young Bucks. And we don't know why, but apparently it's because of something on BTE. And then he's mad at Kenny, which I didn't even realize this last night when we were doing our show. This is because of that angle at the show I was at in Winnipeg, which was 19 months ago, where Jungle Boy was part of putting Kenny out. He was the guy to hit him in the gut with the chair.
Yes.
I had forgotten about that, and they didn't remind me.
Well, they did the bare minimum reminding. It's like, you might remember the previous unpleasantries between Jungle Boy and Kenny by Excalibur.
No, I don't. Why don't you tell me?
I don't remember that. Please, tell me.
Yeah, yes. Show me a video package. We had all that. And then, of course, the Rocky Romero thing, where Rocky Romero jumped the ring and starts attacking Jungle Boy, and I don't know why.
Yes.
So Jungle Boy now is mad at the Bucks, who are heels. He's mad at Kenny, who's a babyface.
Ding.
I believe he doesn't get along with Kip Wayne and Nick Sabian. or whatever their name.
Or Nick Saban, the former head coach of Alabama football, either. He probably doesn't get along with him. Yeah.
Nick Wayne and Kip Saban. So, like, and now I'm wondering, maybe the idea is that Jungle Boy is actually not what we think he is. So he's coming out with this, like, you know, and he's actually not Jungle Boy. And he's actually pissed off at this whole company, and he's got no friends, and he's a tweener.
It's, you know, it coincides with the story on Figure Four today about Jack Perry saying he wants to take this team in a darker direction.
Wonderful.
Which is just what people wanted to see. And that's why they're singing Baltimora to the top of their lungs, is because you know what they want to see? They want to see scapegoat Jungle Boy Jack Perry and Killswitch Luchasaurus as a team, and not the Jurassic Express.
If they do take on a darker edge, Tony could buy Welcome to the Jungle, and they could come out to that.
I still want Bron Breakker to come out to Welcome to the Jungle to appease his
father. Yeah, Nick Khan's not going to pay for that.
No, and Guns N' Roses asked for a lot of money, I think. ASCAP for that.
Tony's got a lot of money, though.
I'll bring up another point, because it came at the end of our show last night.
What's that?
So your Moxley Darby Allin story is an I Quit match.
Yep.
And John Moxley's strategy is to mentally break a man who climbed Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing to do in human history, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
That's your plan. That's what the geniuses have come up with. Let's get the death rows together. Okay, how?
Well, to be fair, it is Darby that made the challenge, not John.
That's true too.
Yeah, but I mean, what? And Dave brought this up on Wrestling Observer. What are these two going to do to each other? Like, I figured it out.
Moxley's plan is to find a mountain higher than Everest.
Oh, there you go.
He's going to overcome Jupiter, bad maybe? Storytelling.
You're gonna take him to Jupiter?
Yes, there's going to be a rocket. It's going to be a rocket, and it's going to be long-term storytelling, like I always hear about AEW, and it's going to be a six-month trip while they're going to be in suspended animation, and then they're going to run into the Nostromo, and then an alien is going to pop up. This is just ridiculous.
Darby's got to win this, though, right? And Moxie's got to go away for a little
while.
Yeah, and Moxie should go away for a while.
Oh, we've been waiting for that last three matches.
Well, 3 years, maybe. Like
3 years.
Was he supposed to take a break? He was supposed to take a break, and then Phil had his dust up, and he had to be the champion for a while.
I ain't got time to bleed. He comes back out. And what's my next story, champ? How about Orange Cassidy next? Okay.
Pull him out of rehab. We need you, John.
And again, I will also reiterate that I am quite upset at the lack of build for this Joe Adam Page match, because this was something that was rushed, and it could have been so beautiful.
I talked about it last night. They could have, like, I mean, they had the nuggets of something there, and if they would have just let it breathe for like a month. Yeah. And then,
let
you know,
it
it's
breathe.
Like,
hey, let Joe make a snarky comment here. Let Page make an accidental slight over here, so he's still the baby face as opposed to being he's the heel in this program.
Why couldn't we have done Andrade show up after that match and attack Hangman, and that could be your challenge? Why not?
Oh, you don't want to beat him you don't want to beat him immediately. He just came
who
back.
Andrade?
Yeah,
you don't think Kenny's gonna beat him?
No.
Oh, I definitely think Kenny's gonna beat him.
I think there's going to be 30 members. Actually, my original opening to this show was going to be, I think Paul Fontaine is now a member of the Callis family.
I cannot confirm or deny that. Don Callis and I are both from Winnipeg, and we both worked for the Manitoba government at one point.
You'd still be higher in the pecking order than Josh Alexander.
I think I would, yeah. When Don got his New Japan commenting gig, he was still working for the Manitoba government, and we were doing emails back and forth because we were both on the same government server. Yeah. Yeah. He was like a consultant or something.
For what department?
You know what? I could look. I think it was like environmental or something, but I'll look because we archive everything and I'll just look and see what I got.
Don Callis is nameless government bureaucrat.
You didn't know that? I knew that.
I just didn't know what department he was in.
I think he was like until like 2015 even that he was.
Do they just draft you Canadians into the government and let you work?
No, like extra was actually kind of hard for me to get the job because I didn't go to school. So,
okay.
I mean, I went to high school. I didn't go to college.
I didn't take that completely literally, Paul. I know you have some schooling. You weren't in like some shit reading Latin or something.
Here we go. I found it. It was GET. It doesn't show the government because I think the thing doesn't exist anymore at the department that he was in. But okay. It was whatever GET stands for. That's a here we go. Organization. No, it doesn't show. I still got the emails, but it doesn't say what department he was in. But yeah, he responded and yeah, it was good. That was 2017. Yeah. So anyways.
Crown Jewel's next week. Okay, good. I don't have to do a preview of that. But I did like I'm enjoying this Asuka Io thing more than just about anything on the main roster because we've now absolutely rebooted the bloodline back to square one almost. And I don't care about Jay and Jimmy not getting along. I just don't. I'm sick of it.
The Io stuff is great, and I know people are criticizing her overacting, but I think like she's selling the fact that she's conflicted.
The melodrama is fine. I prefer her melodrama to Kairi's melodrama.
Yeah, and or Lyra's.
Or Lyra's. Good lord, I like Lyra, but I am not in love with her as a performer. But she might be worse than Becky in terms of melodrama, because. It's one of those things where you're just like, leave her to be a pure baby face. Don't make her a victim in everything. She's a great victim, is what Lyra is. I don't.
And now NXT carrying over to NXT now too.
Yes,
I did have to howl on NXT when she shows up and she says, "I spent all night making this for you," and then she hands her a Lyra action figure. I need footage of Lyra making this action figure.
Oh, in Geppetto's toy shop, like goggles on her head and just painting the little details. That's that. Yes. Yes.
Our friend, one of our friends makes action figures.
Chris.
Daza.
Oh, Daza? Oh, Daza does too. Okay. Chris works for an action figure company.
Oh, right. No. But Darren Hand makes them.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. He's got some really cool ones.
Maybe she has like the bird costume on like a mannequin in the background, like she's a superhero. Yeah. You know, like she's actually Bruce Wayne or something like that. I was gonna circle back. Do you think that the melodrama is for the purpose of it's gonna be it's actually all a swerve?
I mean, I think that they're leaving that possibility open, and it's possible, but I think
she's getting cheered too much to turn her.
Yeah. So I think in this case, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think they want you to have that possibility that it is going to happen. Same with the bloodline thing. Like we really don't know what's happening there. Like is Jay turning heel? Is Jimmy, are they going to get on the same page? I personally think that it's all about toughening up the Usos and they're actually going to do another run where they're like kind of like Roman baby face, like where they're like badass baby faces
with the Samoan werewolf possibly as
maybe a that'd be cool
because it is war game season and blood and guts season.
So there's your four. Blood and guts season. Good. Are they doing a men's match too?
I don't know yet. I would assume they would, but it's one of the, like, you have 20 members of the Callis family who could be in a war games if you wanted to.
But I have a feeling if they did, the people that we're clamoring for a women's one will complain about it. They say the men got their own, the women deserve their own too.
Yeah, I need a TNA invasion of AEW because I need certain members of that women's blood and guts to go up against that team TNA, who are all ex WWE people for the most part, and I want to see which team is actually which team survives? Because I kind of want, you know,
who are we
Sky
talking
Blue
here?
And Sky Blue, Julia Hart, Aminata against the Inspiration. Oh, and Jakara Jackson. I'm kind of here for the death.
Mara Stade, yeah.
You kind of look at that and go, there's a car wreck I'd watch. I'd watch that. Is NXT going to have their annual War Games now that they're kind of getting counter-programmed by Blood and Guts?
I think so, yeah.
Is it going to involve TNA it's not at all?
It's the main roster, isn't it?
They already announced it, actually.
Yeah.
See, I took Regal's thing as literal.
Oh,
when he came out
and
yelled War Games, and
I knew what it was right away.
That it's a punchline, but they should have never done that on television. They should have just said he never says it. Like somebody
not
comes
this
out
close
and covers his mouth and just leaves. Because I thought it was going to be like NXT versus main roster. And I was like, that's
not this close to actual War Games season.
Yeah,
probably a misfire.
They're in a stadium, and they need something big in that War Games because they're going to be in the Padres Stadium in San Diego.
You know, now that you say that, now maybe I'm wondering if maybe EO does churn, because that would be at least three members of a heel War Games team that could go against, you know, like Rhea Ripley, maybe Stephanie, Bailey, Lyra.
Yeah.
You know, and then you maybe add Roxanne Perez to the heels. I don't know. Or Julia.
Julia. Yeah. Maybe a heel Bianca if you decide to bring her back eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's always Nia Jax.
Yes, there is.
Anything from that SmackDown show you want to bring up?
I thought the match was fine until the botch finish. That's all.
I'm enjoying Kiana James getting some screen time. I always thought she was over delivering in her hardcore matches on NXT. She was brought up too early. She was brought up
a favorite of our friend Scott Young because of her biracial background.
Yes, that's very true. Her and Sol Ruka, by the way.
Yeah. Sol Ruka is a sister.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have anything else for the Lazy River, we can go into Vader Club.
Yes.
You can introduce it, and you can wax poetic about New Beginnings 2015.
So I remember distinctly when I watched this. I had just signed up for New Japan World, I think probably for Wrestle Kingdom that year. And this was February 15th. So I had forgotten to cancel. And so I'm like, well, I might as well watch this. And I think back then, and still actually, I was surprised when I went on to New Japan World. Did you watch it with English commentary or Japanese?
I watched this match with Japanese commentary.
Yeah, me too. So I think at the time, I probably watched it in Japanese commentary as well, which was very unusual for me.
Who was on the English call, by the way?
I don't know, because I watched it with Japanese. Yeah.
Did they have English commentary?
I don't think so.
Because when they first did New Japan World, there was like 6 months where it's like there's, and then they eventually got Ross and.
I think they got Ross and
Lanny
Barnett.
Lanny Poffo.
and Barnett, Josh Barnett for a while.
Josh
and
Barnett, I remember. Yeah.
But so I think they may have gone back and recorded this for Access TV for the special that they had on there. But the version I watched wasn't here. So I watched it. It was a Valentine's Day, but it was in the morning. I woke up and I was like, I was bored, and so I checked New Japan World, and oh, hey, there's a new show up. Let's watch this. And I get to this Ishii and Hanma match, and I'm like, at the time, I didn't really, like, I knew of Ishii. I didn't know Hanma really at all. He was kind of a comedy guy from what I understood. I think he was doing the Captain New Japan gimmick or Captain, some sort of Captain thing he was doing, but he had, like, two identities.
Captain New Japan sounds correct, but I don't know if he was Captain New Japan, was he?
Well, I saw a roster page from 2015, and he was on there twice.
Okay.
So
he was also the Bone Soldier too.
Yeah, maybe. No, that was Taiji Ishimori.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm watching this, and it's like, okay, and the match starts out, and it's like, it's the one thing I'll say about this match, there wasn't 1 second in this match where both these guys weren't trying to win. Like, that's one thing I like. Like, they were, and they went hard. And this thing went like 22 minutes or something. And if you see Tomioka Hanma now, he is a shell of his former self.
Yes.
Almost literally. He's got no ability. He's got no knees. His body is like half the size, I think, that he was then. Ishii looks kind of the same. He's got a little less hair now. He's probably a little more toned than he was then, but I mean, it's all relative.
He is exactly the same. He has very little mobility at times. Yeah. He's like a square.
But they just were pounding the shit out of each other and slapping and suplexes and brainbusters and just on and on. And like, they never once, the one thing I loved, there was one spot late in the match where Ishii's down and Tomioka Hanma goes to pick him up and Ishii just collapses. And normally what you see in a match when that happens is the guy will just stand there and wait for the guy to recover. Freaking Hanma runs the ropes and hits him with another move. I love that. It was like, okay, yeah, this is where you got me. And the funny thing is I'm watching this and in my head, the whole time I'm watching, I could have sworn Hanma won the match. So like, when Ishii won, I was like, oh shit. I was even surprised. Cause it was like, it was for the vacant title. And
I love those types of matches where you go, oh, let's watch this. I remember enjoying this. I go, I don't remember that at all being the finish. It's like, oh, okay, cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I, like I said, I watched this match once. I watched it almost live. And at the time I was like, oh shit, that's a 5-star match. But I don't know, like I wasn't really rating matches at the time. And I, you know, like now I record every match I watch and I rate them all and everything like that. And then I saw when Dave Meltzer came out, yeah, I know I am. And he gave it 5 stars too. So I was like, okay, I'm right. And then like, I think I even texted Dave. I was like, you got to check out this Hanma Ishii match. And of course he was going to watch it anyways.
You texted Dave. Okay.
I did. Now, did you notice at ringside, the Young Lions?
I was kind of still doing work because you gave me.
Okay. I'm always watching for stuff like that. So a very, very young Jay White was there. Okay. He looked like he was 9 years old tops.
The spot that lives rent free in my head a little bit is the headbutt from the top to the floor.
That's Hanma.
And all
right?
I can think is Danielson, Harley Race, Benoit, Wimps.
Tomioka Hanma. Hanma
raised it a different level, going all the way to the floor. I am not a Hanma completist. When he came in, I remember there were those, I mean, maybe this might even be like a year or two after. I mean, this was like after a major injury, and then he had the allegations against him by his girlfriend, which kind of put a rut in the thing. But watching him, all I could think was, and maybe this is right, maybe this isn't, is this feels like that kind of match, like back in the, maybe SmackDown 6 era, maybe not, where they wanted to get a Bob Holly type over for a while. So they'd have him have this kind of... Hanma reminds me a lot of Bob Holly with a sense of humor.
Yeah. I can see that.
Because he does...
And they had a ton of matches that year.
I still call it the Mackie Ito headbutt, even though Hanma was doing it for years before Mackie Ito ever...
When I searched for it, there was like 6 different singles matches they had, I think, in 2015. So yes. I had a hard time finding the right one.
I had another one that I found on Daily Motion before I finally manned up and bought a subscription for a month of New Japan.
Really? World, so. Oh, well, you know what the funny thing is right after we spoke, I logged into my YouTube this morning because I was looking for... Evolve, and it hadn't been posted yet, but I guess YouTube, they listened to our conversations, and literally the first suggestion was the match. It was Ishii versus Hanma from like some reason it was on YouTube, but I actually think it wasn't the actual match because it was only 17
minutes.
Yeah,
it was highlights. It was highlights. I saw that video first.
But it was literally the first suggestion, and there's no reason for it to be other than they're reading my messages to you.
Well, the playlist on New Japan World after this one, the next match is a Nakamura match, so he's still there this time. I'm like, oh,
now, given that, like, I don't always listen to your show, but I, you know, you always plug it. Did this live up to Vader Club standards?
Oh, dude, bad men doing bad things to each other. Yes.
Okay. Now, the other suggestion I had would have been a good one too, eh?
Yeah, because that was the Donovan Dijak 3-way out of NXT, right?
Yeah, Briggs, Obafemi, and...
Yeah. Basically, this is just stuff we like that we remember because we get so tired of snarking on.
I should have picked something from like the mid 90s that I haven't actually seen, but I've heard about. but I kind of wanted to see this match again. So,
like, Chris picks a lot from the early aughts because that's his fandom, and I was hanging out in comedy clubs during that time, so I didn't watch a lot of wrestling live and stuff.
And your go to is like mid to late 80s.
Late 80s to early 90s. I like a lot of early 90s stuff. I do like a lot of Vader stuff. I am a huge Vader. Because I
just watched the Dark Side on Vader, and that was kind of sad.
Yeah, his life. God, he's one of those guys who died wanting to be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept on denying. Now,
did he get in, or was it right after he died?
Posthumously, I believe.
Yeah, that's too bad. I felt really bad for Jesse watching that thing. And like Jesse, you could tell he was so close to his dad, and his dad was his hero. And
so. They jerked him around too.
They did. Yeah. I mean, and he had what was his name? Jake Carter.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's such a plain white bread name. That's what they
wasn't that Miz's name in the Marine movies.
It's possible. I never watched the Marine movies. You've kind of
I only watched one, and I don't think it was I think it was the Orton one.
I think I watched the one with Aidan Gillen in it.
Jake Carter. Sergeant Jake Carter. There it is.
I think that was the original one with John Cena, the one with Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, and also I think of him as Carsetti from The Wire. Aidan Gillen, the Irish actor, he was also in
Becky Lynch was in the Marine Six.
Blunt. Yeah, he was in one with The Miz. That's where she
I
got
didn't
her
even
SAG.
Know that.
I think that's how she got her SAG card. As a matter of fact,
yeah. No, I'm looking at when I googled Miz, she was like a suggested search, and I was like, oh,
she
shit.
Was.
I didn't even
she
know.
She wasn't good in it, from what I remember, but I didn't watch it either. So
she's not a great actress.
She's theater trained. Becky, she better be.
Yeah.
Get your plugs in, Paul. Let's get out of here.
All right. I got to feed my daughter. The Dynamite Show, every Wednesday, about 10 minutes after AEW Dynamite ends, on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. And Garrett Gonzalez and I do a show called The Takedown, which is basically kind of like this, like just our takes on the hot topics of the weekend. We usually do it on Monday afternoon. That one we record and put up on the Fight Game Media free audio feed and the YouTube channel. So that goes into your feeds on Tuesday morning. So you just search Fight Game Media Takedown. Apparently it's the most popular show on our network.
I'll do better. I promise.
Well, we used to be. and the funny thing is Garrett and I just kind of lucked into this. Like we were doing it to do shorts for the YouTube channel, and then it just evolved into an actual podcast. So
yeah, we used to be the most popular show on Voices of Wrestling too. So whatever.
Now you got Mike and JD.
No. Oh yeah, that's right. We poached them.
Flagship, right?
Flagship, yeah, of course. Yeah. Flagship is always going to be the most popular now. Ours was like the 88 weeks type of thing.
Okay,
it was that kind of run. You can follow me at Crap Game 13 on X. Follow Chris at @DOCTOR_NOV on Instagram. We will see you next week. If you can find the stop recording button, there it is.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.